Hey listeners, Marcus here with a real quick mission. If you would, we'd very much appreciate it if you went to podsurvey.com/LAST, took a real quick survey. Even if you've taken it before, we would very much appreciate it if you took it again. If you take it, you have a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card, so you ain't doing it for nothing, but you're also helping us out a hell of a whole lot. We'd very much appreciate it if you went to podsurvey.com/LAST. Now, on with the show.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Yes. Classic. Yes. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Ben Kissel, joined by Marcus Parks and lonely but also in love, Henry Zebrowski.
Oh, I'm lonely, but I'm in love with the loneliness.
That's great. Henry,
I don't need a date anymore. You know why? Because I know the truth about the Columbine Massacre.
I want to say this, Henry. You better watch out. There's a new actor here on Last Podcast on the left, and it's Ben Kissel.
That's right.
I signed with CESD, a very, very successful talent agency here in New York City. My first audition is Thursday. What's the role? Bigfoot. I will be going out for the role of Bigfoot. That is the first role, so I'm getting typecast. I will say I'm typecast, but I'm excited to go out there and be like, or whatever the hell Bigfoot sounds like.
No. Do you not remember the Bigfoot noise, Ben? Remember this. When you go into the casting director, the first thing you say is, you know what? There has been many recorded instances of the Bigfoot cry, which is literally,
Okay, may I try this one time before we get into Columbine?
Do it.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's good.
That's perfect. Is there a skunk ape in the room that I can't see?
I'm going to nail it.
Yeah, see.
I almost cried. I did. I almost cried when I was like, oh, first audition, Bigfoot. Okay.
Out of joy?
Yes, of course.
So today's topic is another interesting, you know, like we're going back into the world of Columbine.
Yes.
Again, another not first date topic.
No.
And we addressed some hard truths in the first episode, and as I thought there would be a lot of dust sort of kicked up about what we have said already based upon the Dave Cullen book written by about Columbine, which is of course controversial in many people's ideas of what happened at Columbine, mostly just because I think people in times of extreme tragedy really want there to be more of a Byzantinian myth.
Yes.
Around what actually happened, when actually it's just horribly, horribly simple. And to me, when you look at things like the transcripts of the basement tapes, which I'm going to start reading chunks of today out loud, that you're going to see that it's just the power of fuck faces.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that really gets me about the conspiracy theories concerning school shooters, because all these, well, mass shooters really, because you have your conspiracy theories about Columbine, about Sandy Hook, about Aurora, that they were all mind control, that they didn't actually happen. And these really piss me off, because what it is it's people trying to ascribe a story or a reason to these horrible tragedies, these random tragedies. But the actual truth of it is there is no story. There is no reason. There is no real motivation other than causing pain and asserting superiority in their minds. Like, there's no reason why Ted Bundy did what he did, or why John Wayne Gacy did what he did. There's no reason behind it other than pure fucking evil.
Well, evil, ego, and also they want to get on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
And back in the Rolling Stone.
What did you do, Bob Dylan? I sang some great music, and I entertained the masses. What did you do, Chernoff? I blew up the marathon.
Yeah,
exactly. So you can get on the cover of the Rolling Stone for many different reasons.
Yeah.
And certainly Eric and Dylan, they were cult heroes to many kids in the late 90s, early 2000s.
And up until today. I mean, really, people are still using Columbine as a an inspiration.
Yeah.
And that, and the blame for that lies squarely on the media.
Yes.
Absolutely. As far as the media goes, the echo chamber, last week we talked about the myths that came out of it, and this week we're going to start with how exactly those myths came out.
And exactly, we're going to see here. This is why you believe there is a conspiracy about Columbine. It's because the government uses these events for conspiracy for themselves. This right. is why the conspiracy thought even begins, is because, yes, there are conspiracies involved in all of this, but where they are is in the back end. They are there to basically use Columbine to help possibly, you know, which didn't even work, which is the classic libertarian argument that they're going to take our guns out of our hands.
No.
Because a couple of kids went and shot up a bunch of people. But then you watch, no. It's like the resilience of gun owners and their lobbyists. And they made sure that that shit didn't happen, especially in Colorado.
Well, no tragedy goes unused by the government. And the one thing they definitely weren't able to do was take our guns, like you said. But what they were able to do was create a student body and young people very used to the idea of being confined.
Yes.
And very used to the idea of being under constant monitored, being monitored constantly with guns in the school. Some teachers are armed. Security guards are armed. They are just catering kids to be future fuel for the large prison industrial complex.
Yeah.
But in reality, kids are more comfortable now with the idea of not having freedom, not having ability to move like we did as children before Columbine. After Columbine, kids are now just resigned to their fate of being forced to do whatever they're told.
Yeah. And how these myths actually came about, this is amazing how these myths were created and how fast they were created. All the ones that we talked about, that they were goth kids, that they were bullied, that they were part of the trench coat mafia, they were created within the first 2 hours
right.
of the actual tragedy. The first to be arrested was a kid who was actually a good friend of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, this kid named Chris Morris. This is where the nerd angle comes in. He was a nerdy-looking kid. He had these huge wire-rimmed glasses. He was kind of chubby. He had long hair, and he happened to be a member of the so-called Trenchcoat Mafia.
I'm just imagining him myself, and I imagine myself dressed as Chris Morris. And I just gave myself a wedgie.
Ooh, how do you feel?
I feel, you know what? God, nostalgic.
Yeah. That's the thing. If you are getting bullied in the school, surprisingly enough, I was bullied quite a bit. Get rock hard while they do it. And I'll tell you, that just works. That'll deter any sort of bullying in the future.
Yeah. I only get harder every time you do it, young man.
And start calling them young man. I think that's another good thing, too.
Great strategy.
While you're at it, while you're back there, why don't you turn around and give me a bit of a touch on the knee?
Right. This is also a strategy that you could transfer over to prison if you do end up having to go there. Just start smiling whenever they start doing anything to your butthole.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Daddy? Is it daddy back there?
Now, again, we've never been to jail, so I don't know if that's a good strategy or not. Maybe this will just increase all punishment. I'm not sure.
Who knows? But as soon as Chris Morris was arrested on camera, the myth of the goth loner was born. And while most of the students didn't know Harrison Klebold, of course, the news media sees Chris Morris has been arrested. They see his appearance, and they start asking students these leading questions. Like, were they outcasts? Were they loners?
Right.
And the kids started saying, yeah, I heard they were. I don't know these kids. Right. I never met these kids, but I heard they were. The reporters, though, they never asked them where they heard it. And this is what one senior, this is a direct quote from one senior.
A lot of the time, they'll like wear makeup and paint their nails and stuff. And they're kind of like, I don't know. They're like goth, sort of like, but they're like, they're like associated with death and violence like a lot. That's what they do.
Yeah, it's obviously, that's a direct quote, and that is obviously a teenager making shit up as he goes along, or a teenager trying to make sense of the tragedy. This is all very fresh.
Also, I started looking up on evanlong.net. All right, so I started doing my own sort of research about reading about witness testimonials, and it's the same shit. Everybody does these same. All of the library witnesses, I started going through. This is 250 pages of police documents, which is mind-numbing.
Yeah.
But each one of them, which it's all of these little things where it's like, yes, they were talking about leading up to the library. These were all done right after the shooting, right? Mm-hmm. This is like they were brought in. They were all sort of like in the chaos of it. Police and reporters were taking people and rapidly interviewing them, trying to figure out which one of you did this, right?
Right.
And this, like, you know, just the first one I started reading was immediately like, couldn't recall his history teacher's name. Couldn't remember the name of the teacher that had come. It's like, it's little things. Couldn't really imagine, couldn't fully describe the room he was in when he first saw Dylan Klebold come in the room. So you're watching these people put together details and high stress right after literally seeing the most traumatic thing they've ever seen, which is watching their friends get shot in front of them like it's fucking Vietnam. And now you expect them to be expert eyewitnesses?
I mean, if you go back, you can take the analogy of like a football game, for example. After a team wins like the Super Bowl, they interview the star players and they're just like, yeah! They're like, what's your mother? How's your mother doing? All right! Disney World!
Sometimes the ball is going to come at you. When you got to remember, it's about teamwork and it's also about determination. I'd like to thank God, and I also like to say sometimes the ball's just bigger when you're winning, and I mean physically larger. I also like to say that the field was slick, and also me and several team members got together with a witch, and we cursed the other team directly before the game. So again, you know, just go 49ers. We did it today.
You're a member of the Dallas Cowboys.
What?
Yeah, you're a Cowboy.
How did I lose this game?
So when you're in those sort of stressful situations or moments of excitement.
Adrenaline.
It's all there's no way adrenaline. You can tell anything that's true.
Absolutely not. And Dave Cullen, there's a segment in the book where he talks about this exact phenomenon. He talks about how unreliable eyewitness testimony is. He uses a great example. He talks about a ponytail. One kid talks about a ponytail where the entire time that he's running, this kid was just focused on the ponytail of the girl in front of him. And that was the only thing that he could truly say. That he said, like, yes, I remember she had this ponytail. I remember being focused on that. And all the peripheral details, he couldn't quite remember. But because memory is something that we like to fill in over time, and the longer a memory goes, and the more people that contribute to that memory, the fuzzier it gets, and the further away it gets from the actual truth.
Oh, my God. The memory that I have of me in high school is so much better than the actual truth. I was such a fat, bald loser, but now I look back in hindsight and be like, that was pretty fun. I had a lot of friends. It was pretty fun times.
Yeah, I remember screaming into my pillow at night and like just being like, who am I? I am just a hall of mirrors. And now I think about it and I'm like, you know, homecoming dances were fun.
Isn't that? I had a great time at prom. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I spent all my time just staring at gravestones.
Well, that's not changed.
No, yeah, nothing. You haven't moved on quite yet, but you will.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Did I mature too fast, too much, or have I just not matured at all?
So you just went from, like, prepubescent to puberty right to, like, widow. Just, like, at the graveyard, just putting flowers down on some random gravestone, kind of crying to yourself.
Yeah, you went from baby to young man to teenager to fester from the Addams Family.
But a skinny fester, which is kind of nice.
Well, these kids, like, we talked about the trench coat mafia a little bit in the last episode. The kid, how it started, that kid Eric Dutro bought a black duster from Sam's Club for a Dracula costume, and the trench coat mafia kids, they were the ones that were actually picked on. These were the kids that were, because Columbine did have, like, every single one of the myths, they did have a kernel of truth to them. None of them came from absolutely nowhere. They all had Cullen puts it great. He said they got the details right but the conclusions wrong. The bullying, there was a huge bullying problem in Columbine High School.
Sure.
Specifically in Columbine.
Because specifically you look at these schools that have very large sports programs, and where the sports program is, like, they talk about how, like, you know, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were a part of the whole group. Everybody went to the sports games. Everybody saw the baseball team. Everyone went to the football team. Everybody saw the soccer games. And so you're looking at this sort of like it's a star system. Like, any school that has a big sports program knows that those guys are most of the time fucking terrorists.
I mean,
and they destroy people's lives all the time. But Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were just also a part of the problem. They were just misfit terrorists.
I do want to say this. I think there was a bit of a myth about athletes a lot of times also. As a former wrestler, I got third in state in the Catholic League.
Yeah. So that was you weren't an athlete.
No, but I was very big, and I'll be playing Big Butt.
Did you have to wrestle a priest in order to get in? And was it like one of those where he's just like, no, not too vigorous, Ben. Just want you to concentrate first on my belt. Yes. And then go taking them wrestling hands and taking my belt all the way down to my knees.
Give him a half Nelson. But I'm just saying, a lot. I've never heard of a school shooting being done by the star quarterback or a chunky offensive lineman. And a lot of times these athletes tend to be a little bit more disciplined than some of the kids who are searching for identity because they have an identity.
Oh, they're not disciplined at all. They're disciplined, but not in personal interactions.
Wrestlers are because they all have eating disorders when they get done. They're very disciplined. But what I'm saying is they have an identity. They're a football player. They're a wrestler. They're a basketball player.
Right.
These kids are searching for identity, and becoming a mass shooter is, I suppose, one way to get it.
I suppose, but the thing is that the mass shooters aren't goths. Like, they're not, they don't have any, like we said in the last episode, there is no profile. But
right.
What did come from a creation of a profile, the media created a profile, now all of a sudden, if you're a weird kid, and man, so many people have so many stories as far as what happened to them after Columbine, is that shit got worse. For the kids that were outsiders, for the kids that dressed in black, the goth kids, shit got so much worse because the media was all of a sudden portraying them. No shit, this was one of the angles that they were a homosexual cult who were involved in a death pack leading up to the turn of the millennium.
Well, that is partially true.
Yeah, that's your Donahue, Geraldo Rivera kind of angle. That's my favorite one.
Oh, yeah, the Pat Robertson angle.
Yes.
Yeah, those are the people. And the TV journalists, they were very careful to use the phrases like they were believed to be, they were described as when talking about like the goth, because they were still trying to cover their asses. But these teenagers, they're scared shitless. They're not picking up on the subtleties of television journalism, believed to be. They don't have the fucking style book in front of them. These kids, the echo chamber is starting to be created. And some of these kids, they're starting to get these myths are being implanted in their heads before they even get out of the high school, because remember, they're inside watching the television before they even get out during the fucking tragedy.
Right.
And initial reports, when kids first started coming out, they said, oh my God, they're killing everybody. They're killing everybody. It's completely random. But by 8 p.m., that by the time everything kind of settled down, witnesses went from no mention of the trench coat mafia, goths, jocks, or targeting, to nearly everybody saying, yes, they were being targeted. They were going for jocks. They were going for anybody. They were going for black people.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of myths being created all in that first day.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, the media... That's the problem with breaking news, right? These media companies, CNN, for example, makes all of their money off of breaking news.
Yeah.
And so as soon as they see it, they have to immediately start talking, and they have no idea where they're going to go or where the what the story actually is yet.
Yeah. And like we said last week, this was it broke ratings records for both CNN and Fox News.
Which is a disgusting thing, because you have to know that these people in the executive offices are laughing and smiling and thrilled with these numbers. It's about as maniacal as a 1980s villain can get.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about some great TV here, though, guys.
Oh, it's beautiful television.
My
God.
I think
this is your problem that you're even mad.
I'm telling you, the 1990s, we had the 91 Iraq War. We'll always remember that footage. O.J. Simpson. And Columbine.
Yeah.
Those are the three events that stand out the most. And what happened in all of those events? Murder.
Yeah.
So, Harris. So, it's Eric Harris, directly from Transcripts from the Basement Tape. Basically, we want to talk about, like, this is what I'll use as my site, my source material for why I don't believe they targeted anybody. So, Eric Harris says it by himself. Do not think we're trying to copy anyone. We had the idea before the first one ever happened. They're referencing to school shootings in Kentucky and Arkansas. Mm. Our plan is better, not like those fucks in Kentucky with camouflages and 22s. Those kids are only trying to be accepted by others. Mm. They go on to talk about how they hate all races, N-words, S-words, the Jews, and fucking whites. They also mention enemies that abused them and friends who didn't do enough to defend them. Basically, everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody. That was their target. And it's what we talked about in the first episode. They were terrorists. And in fact, I mean, it could be argued that the ultimate target was not even the school. The ultimate target was the world. The ultimate target was America. They wanted to instill fear in people. They wanted to destroy the American way of life.
Another quote from Eric Harris. We need a fucking kickstart. We have a fucking religious war, oil, or anything. We need to get a chain reaction going here. It's gonna be like fucking Doom, man, after the bombs explode. Tick, tick, tick. Ha ha. That fucking shotgun. He kisses his gun. Straight out of fucking Doom. Go ahead and change gun laws. How do you think we got ours? The boys talk about starting a revolution of the dispossessed. We're gonna kickstart a revolution.
Yeah.
Which didn't happen.
No, it didn't, but they continue to use the word kickstart, so maybe they would have just gotten a GoFundMe at this point for you know, for their emotions and things like that.
An Indiegogo, you get to keep the money even if you don't get the gold.
Oh, isn't that nice? I love that. It is amazing. You wonder if they would just be shocked that what they did at Columbine didn't increase gun laws. As a matter of fact, most of the politicians that mattered, and the NRA specifically, was just like, give all the kids guns.
Yeah.
If one of the kids got a gun and the other one doesn't have a gun, the bad guy's got a gun. We need to put it in the good guy's hands, the premature mind of a child.
We talked about this the last time. As a matter of fact, there was supposed to be, there was an NRA rally right after the shooting.
A week, 9 days after.
Right.
And they let it happen. And the only thing that they changed about it is that they didn't bring up the young people like they normally do to have their young person testimony about getting their first guns.
Yeah.
Can you please come here and do our young person testimony at the NRA? The blood. the blood on the walls and...
Sometimes I hear just the backfire of a car, and I just see Rachel's face going, blam, 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 you know, but I'm just happy that I got my Winchester rifle.
Thank you.
So I can go hunting with my family.
Get him off the stage. Pull him off the stage.
Yikes.
The youth of America, everybody. The future is safe with kids like Henry.
I'll tell you what, these youths... They're not getting funnier.
No, it's almost like there was a school shooting 9 days ago.
And this is another thing that tells me that really damages any sort of conspiracy theory as far as these school shootings go.
You guys didn't see the huge quotation marks that Marcus just did. And I think that's really important as a part of your argument. If you're coming at anybody, conspiracy theory. If you
conspiracy
can hear the wind go
theory.
Past my microphone.
Yeah, yeah. 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 And what they don't get is that this tells you they don't do their research and they don't look past their own fucking noses, is that every time there's a big school shooting, the NRA and the pro-gun politicians double down.
Yeah.
They double down. Usually gun laws get less restrictive after gigantic mass shootings. And one could argue that the conspiracy theory actually goes in the other way, because this is a country that is built on arms sales. Like the military-industrial complex, which also trickles down to individual weapon sales, mm-hmm. is a gigantic part of our economy.
Like we mentioned earlier, getting kids comfortable with confinement, so they'll, you know, when they're in jail for at least, you know, whatever, traffic tickets in Texas. Or anything like that. Jeff Ross just roast criminals, for example. One person was in there for, I believe it was 7 months, because for unpaid speeding tickets.
Yeah.
Anyway, people get more used to confinement. So you have that. You have the prison industrial complex making bank money there. These kids, people talk about the Matrix and having little fetus in jars, and they feed off our energy. They really just feed off of us sitting there and rotting. And then the militarization of the cops also came in massive. Every single police force mm-hmm. the size of Stevens Point, Wisconsin, in my hometown, or in Columbine there, they all got tanks.
Yes.
Everyone got paid in this situation. The news got paid, the media got paid, the prisons got paid, and the police got paid, and the government got paid.
They want more guns on the streets.
Right.
Like that is something that they love having more guns on the streets.
And the trench coat industry. The trench coat industry also got paid.
Also, does possibly the Columbine Massacre help cover up the connection between pharmaceutical companies and the gigantic child rape rings that run our country?
Okay,
right? They're
Michael
a part
Moore.
Of a secret-keeping organization. We look at Mark Taylor, right? The story of Mark Taylor, which is apparently he was a victim. He was of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. But a part of it is that he was addicted to various mind-altering, let's say, pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, of
course. Like
Mark
exactly
Taylor or Eric Harris?
Mark Taylor, this young man, right? And he was raped by the police to shut up about it.
Well, there's different ways of keeping people quiet.
It really is. And all of those, all the people that say, oh my God, like they were, you know, how did these two seemingly innocent young boys just all of a sudden, and the big one of the biggest ones is Michael Moore, and fuck Bowling for Columbine, fuck that fucking movie, fuck Michael Moore, is that he's saying, like, how did these two innocent young boys suddenly decide to shoot up the school? Read the fucking journals. Read his website. There is copious amounts of evidence that this was a long planned attack.
Also, possibly Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were raped by police the night that they broke into a white van that they say. So they say that is the turning point, right? Is that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were out one night doing their various things. What was the name? What was the term that they called? Doing their pranks.
Their missions.
Their missions.
Yeah.
So they would go out on missions and they would TP people's houses and they would bust down mailboxes and they would blow shit up. And one night they broke into a van, and story goes is that they were stopped by a certain sheriff who picked them up and he arrested them. And that infuriated Eric Harris, which was a part of the leaping off point for him starting to write the Book of God.
Yeah.
Right? But there's another story altogether that they were taken by the police and entered into the Fat Cat's secret dungeon room, which is the truth, right? Fat Cat's an intricate group of child rapists that are connected to our government and to the fact that because, you know, we were right next to the Lockheed Martin plant, right? Mm. All of this shit was happening right around Columbine, in Columbine and right around the high school. They were raped by these police and then drugged. They were derailed using barbiturates and uppers and hypnotism. They were then set back out onto society. And what Columbine was revenge against the police. The whole point was them to start shooting people and get as much attention as possible, including planting, going after Brown and telling him he's going to kill his family and building all these pipe bombs, hoping to get caught. So finally, when they get the police in their faces, they can start picking off police as revenge. And Mark Taylor was the same guy. He says that he saw a sniper on the roof during Columbine, right? Mm-hmm. That he was there. He saw a sniper up there who was helping pick people off. Because of why? Because government hates kids.
Yeah, you know, you know what that sniper was? It was a very frightened air conditioner repairman.
No. Yes, well, he had a broom, but it was also, what can a broom be done with? You can snap it in half and dig it sharp.
That is very true. Well, I mean, to give some credit to the idea of police abuse, sexual abuse, and offsites, police offsites. Of course, in Chicago, there was that massive bust. They finally figured out that the commissioner from the 80s had aided and abetted in a lot of sexual assaults of black men.
Let's not
mostly
get serious here, Ben.
But no. So I mean, there is possibly some authenticity to the angle that these kids were taken into a location that they didn't feel necessarily secure.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is also, I mean, it is also being proven, especially in the UK, that child sex rings among the powerful elite do exist.
They were
also
ahead and look up Operation Hydrant, which is the current UK investigation into the gigantic child prostitute ring that was happening inside the UK that is involved with their parliament, that is involved with their entertainment industry. We got Airfuck One. No, there's shit that is real.
Oh, absolutely. This shit is entirely real.
I'm not debasing that.
No.
I'm just saying that this is how this shit fits in, right? This is what our government can easily use to discredit anything like that.
Yeah.
So what you have is a bunch of crazy people trying to tie stuff like the Columbine Massacre to these child prostitute rings by saying that their programming broke down, blah, blah, blah. The pharmaceutical companies, because he was on Luvox, he lost his mind. It's passing the buck. It's doing all this stuff, and because the main idea is that our government doesn't know how to stop these school shooters.
Yeah.
Because the problem is that America is creating schizophrenic murderers because of, number one, constant programming via advertising and our schooling system, and number two, and how that fucks with the natural human inclination of freedom and free thought, and it's snapping people.
And so, I mean, Henry makes some points. Common Core, for example, standardized testing.
Yeah.
And certainly, both of those things play into kids needing medication. I was on ADHD medication like Strattera and Ritalin and a couple of other very, very heavy antipsychotics because I was telling the truth at a young age.
Interesting. That's interesting. And now you'll be Bigfoot this week.
Exactly. On Thursday. Oh, my.
This is my question. If you don't get it,
yeah.
What does that mean for you?
Oh, then I'm going to buy a trench coat, paint my nails, and hopefully,
you want to use my copy of the Anarchist Cookbook? Yeah, I think I still got it around here somewhere.
Can I just get a real cookbook? I'd love a good soup or a gumbo, something like that.
My mom still has my old set of floppy disks. I have it. In Florida. I have my Anarchist cookbook somewhere in this collection of shit. I have to go find
it. Henry, are you, what kind of soup are you eating there? Oh, it's got some nails in it. You know that's not a real cookbook.
Oh, what? Yeah, well, why is it all so delicious? I made this thing called napalm soup, and I gotta tell you, it's spicy.
Yeah, I had a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook as well that I printed out on printer paper and I put in a binder. But you know what else is in that binder? A Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past walkthrough.
Ooh.
My Mega Man 2 codes.
Right.
Nerd alert!
Nerd alert. Uh-oh. But let's talk about that briefly. Can we get to that now? The different things that they blamed Eric and Dylan's actions on, such as video games.
Yes, they blamed it on Doom. They blamed it on they blamed it on Marilyn Manson. They didn't listen to Marilyn Manson. They listened to KMFDM and Rammstein. They love that German industrial, man.
And poor KMFDM literally had to issue an apology afterwards. Yeah. They were literally just like, yeah, sorry, yes, we don't want to disappoint our fans. Yes, we're all about rape and chaos, but only in the form of song, not in real life. So we are, again, deeply sorry to the families of those that are victims of the Columbine Massacre. But still, I hope everybody, let's all rape each other on the dance floor. Keep it on the dance floor.
Oh, that's sad when a heavy metal band has to apologize for their fans' actions.
Yeah,
it's
not good.
It's a great character for a second. It makes it just be like, ah, damn it. We are supposed to be the princes of evil, aren't we? But we're not erished. We're not, all right? We are musicians, music makers.
Yes, that reminds me of the vampires from that movie Out of the Shadows. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't.
It's done by the Flight of the Conchord, dude. It's so funny.
Oh, what we do when we're in the shadows, something like that?
No, they're vampires. They're all hanging out. Anyway, it's very, very funny. Check out that movie. It's not scary. It's a humor piece.
Yeah.
So they blamed it on video games. But you bring up a good point, Henry, Marcus, with the real people to blame is you know, the gun people, the pharmaceutical industry giving these kids very heavy drugs at a young age, and then just the overall the life of a kid is very, very difficult, and they don't want to address the problems that are actually deep seated in America. They want to go and talk about video games and things like that, as opposed to the reality where video games keep kids inside.
Yeah,
and when you're inside, you can't go shoot up a mall.
It's just also stuff that's easy to control. Right. And it allows them, every single time we give them an inch, to control what we think or how we think or what we want to say, they will take it because it's so much easier. I was talking to a man that can go unnamed who works for the PSYOPs department of our government. And this is totally fucking true. We were talking about this and he's like, the hypnosis of America is already over. It's like, we've already done it. They've already done it. They have made us perfectly little pliant observers of anything they want. We are such a fun little thing. We're fun little sheep.
We're fun little fat sheep. And people talk about the obesity epidemic as it's a health issue. Government loves us fat.
Yeah.
They want us fat. The Fed Up campaign was bought and sold by Coca-Cola and big food industries, Monsanto. They want us as huge as we can possibly be, so we just consume and consume, and we're too fat to protest.
Situation, so are you back on sugar now?
Oh, I'll never get off sugar. But you look at like Ferguson and Baltimore and these things. What do they blame that on? Music and stuff like that, because
the culture,
as opposed to an actual protest of the prison system that became so powerful, of course, during the 90s under Clinton, and certainly became more and more powerful after things like Columbine.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you once again by Loot Crate. It's a subscription box, which for less than $20 a month, you can get 6 to 8 items of gamer and pop culture, licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique, one-of-a-kind items, and more. Previous crates have included items from franchises like Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and many more. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when that cutoff happens, you got to wait till the next month. So go to lootcrate.com/LAST today and enter the code LAST to save $3 on your new subscription. Now, back to the show. One of the things that the media also did, and one of the things that the media also needs to do, and one of the things that gets them ratings, is the creation of heroes. Like the heroes of Columbine, the people who fought back, the people who did things to save others.
Right.
Some tried to make this kid, Danny Roarbro, tried to make him a hero. They said that he held doors open for students. He saved a bunch of kids. But his dad, he said, I never believed that. He's like, my son wouldn't do that. He would have ran. Like, he was like, he wouldn't have done that. Like, it's just, he just like, I know my son. He's like, nothing against him. Most students ran. Almost every single student ran. There's no shame in that. That is survival instinct. Instinct right. takes over, and the vast 99.99% of people run. They just fucking run. And there's yes. nothing wrong with that. But the father of Danny, he made a real good point. He said, there's no reason to make this story more tragic.
Right.
He says it's tragic enough. You don't have to make these kids into heroes. You don't have mm-hmm. to make Dave Sanders, the teacher, the only teacher to die. You don't have to make his story more tragic. You don't have to make him a hero because in reality, like, we don't need to make heroes. All we need to, it's enough to just say they were good people. They were good yeah. people who tried to do good things.
But again, who most benefits from this hero story, right? We're looking at the church, especially in terms of this one specific martyr who was written about in a book called Girl Who Said Yes, which is very interesting. This story is very interesting, highly controversial. Basically, when you were talking about when Columbine happened, the churches just flooded into Littleton.
Oh.
They came in and they were like, We're ready to start. They were immediately evangelizing people. Yeah. And yes, the churches were where people went to congregate. When people were at a loss, the whole community would group at various churches, and there were different sections. There were the Catholic Church, there were the evangelicals, there was a Protestant church, and they would all meet up. But the evangelicals were the one that were actively pursuing new members while mm-hmm. this was happening.
And were completely unashamed about it.
Oh, yes. I knew. I grew up in an evangelical home, and I'll never forget hearing this story. It was nonstop. The evangelicals loved this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that they justified saying it was okay. They said they could use the massacre for recruitment as long as it was truly done for God, as long as it was truly done in God's name.
That's how insane these people are. They actually were like, well, maybe there was a reason for it.
Yes.
And there's no reason for it.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. The all the cars, a lot of people, they congregated at churches, but at the beginning, a lot of people congregated at this place called Clement Park, and they said the windshield wipers of the cars in the parking lot just overflowed with flyers from local churches saying, you can come worship with us. Come, like, offering food to people. Like, no, don't go to their worship service. We've got cookies.
As Jesus turned water into wine, they turned a tragedy into money in their coffers. And it was it's quite a miracle, actually.
Mm-hmm. Also, I find the pettiness between church groups to be very interesting, where there was a man from Chicago who turned out to be sort of a charlatan.
Yeah.
But what he did was he showed up, and when the final name of the victims came out, which was it was 13, correct?
Yeah.
And so he put up 15 crosses out by this Clement Park area, which was 13 for the victims, and then one for Eric Harris and one for Dylan Klebold. And they tore him to pieces. They tore the whole thing down, right? And this man, well, yes, he was a bit of it was a stunt. There's another sort of, what about the Christian principle of forgiveness? Right? What about this idea that even if Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold did this, you were supposed to, as some fucking beautiful Christian, you're supposed to fully accept them and forgive them for what they did. If there's a reason for everything, they're the reasons why it even happened in the first place. So then they have a reason for it too. They're a part of the same logic system. So they flipped out. It's just one of those examples of the constant tension that happened because of the religion. Now being fucking jammed into the sides of this massacre.
And we talked a lot about, you know, the bullying thing and, you know, them being gay or, you know, them being loners and stuff. There was another great narrative that they were massive Satanists.
Yeah. Of course.
Well, Satan always, as we know, Satanists don't believe in doing anything to children. That is literally in the satanic fucking the Ten Commandments.
Well, that was the thing about Littleton, Colorado, and Colorado in specific, Colorado has been called the Vatican of the evangelical movement,
yes.
Specifically Colorado Springs. These people believe in a literal devil, a physical devil that is out to get you. Always out to get you.
I'll never forget the day that I told my dad I don't believe in the devil, and then he freaked out on me.
Yeah.
And I believe in the devil because I saw it in his eyes that day. Evangelicals, and that was also what Dylan and Eric were rebelling against, was this very, very strict evangelical just community that they lived in.
Yeah, and 5 days after the attack, there was a big remembrance ceremony, very Christian. The president was there, the vice president was there, and Billy Graham's son Franklin was there. You know what he did? Did he talk about forgiveness? Did he talk about the victims? No. He spent most of his time talking about how this happened because prayer wasn't allowed in schools anymore.
And I will say something about prayer according to the Satanic Bible. Mm. The Satanist shuns terms such as hope and prayer as they are indicative of apprehension. If we hope and pray for something to come about, we will not act in a positive way which will make it happen. The Satanist, realizing that anything he gets is of his own doing, takes command of the situation instead of praying to God for it to happen. Positive thinking and positive action add up to results.
The power of will, my friend. The power of will.
And of course, if prayers were in school, all that would do is alienate people who were non-Christian, atheist, Muslim, Jewish folks, and a whole smattering of other religions. And then you would harden those people because they would feel disenfranchised and not wanted by their school. So then they would be the shooter or something like that because they feel lesser than.
Well,
Satanists would have been too busy making everybody fucking casseroles.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it that way. A good old-fashioned Colorado Satanist would have been out there and he would have been making a big smoked brisket and giving everybody food. That's what I'm saying. And probably some booze. And maybe sucking your dick.
Well, I don't know if he can do that. The children here, they're children.
Come on, even a 16-year-old kid in grief needs a blowjob from some older woman.
A woman of the same age.
Yeah. Well, the biggest exploitation of this entire tragedy done by the evangelicals was a girl named Cassie Bernal. Ugh. Cassie was the famous girl who said yes. And anybody who was of age at that time that was in even a remotely Christian lifestyle heard about the girl who said yes. This is as churches tell it to this day. They say that Dylan Klebold pointed a shotgun in her face, asked her if she believed in God, and when she said yes, he pulled the trigger, shot her in the face, and killed her, instantly creating a modern martyr.
Right.
And this is what, and this is, in the way that they talk about her is fucking disgusting. And when they were talking about her, one pastor was talking about her from the pulpit. He recounted a story a youth pastor had told him while praying with the Bernals. This is what he said.
I saw Cassie and I saw Jesus hand in hand. And they had just gotten married. They had just celebrated their marriage ceremony. And Cassie kind of winked over at me like, I'd like to talk, but I'm so much in love. Her greatest prayer was to find the right guy. Don't you think she did?
And isn't
that real?
Yes.
That wasn't Henry doing a character.
No, that was real.
That's verbatim from a pastor.
Verbatim.
Arrest him. Arrest that man.
Next thing you know.
Well, surprisingly, like everything else, a kernel of truth to this. The girl who said yes story actually happened, just not to Cassie Bernal, and not quite in the way that the evangelicals wanted it to, and not quite in the way that they could use it. Cassie was blown away by Dylan Klebold, but it was without a word, and it was hiding under a desk while playing. Two witnesses saw this happen. The guy who recounted the story just got mixed up. It was another witness thing. Mm-hmm. The girl who said yes survived. Her name was Valene Schnurr, and when Klebold asked her if she believed in God, he had already shot her once. She was riddled with a buckshot, and when he asked why she believed, she said, because I believe, and my parents brought me up that way. And as Dylan was reloading to finish the job, something distracted him. He walked away, and Val survived. And yes, this is a good story, but there are two problems with this story.
Number one, she didn't die. Not a martyr.
Right.
Yes. Number one, she didn't die and she's not a martyr. And so if she didn't die and she's not a martyr, not only that, she can't later on in life say, like, you know what? I don't think I want to be a Christian. Like, I don't think, maybe I want to do something else with my life. Maybe I don't really believe in anything. So right off, Cassie Bernal is forever a Christian, no matter what. And second of all, her saying, you know, why do I believe in God? It's just because I believe. You know, my parents brought me up that way. Like, that's the answer that most Christians are going to give.
Yeah, but, it wasn't like, Jesus touched my soul and I knew then. I went, you know, people, I heard stories from older girls about their pisses getting wet. And it only happened when I met sweet, 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 sweet Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She can't say that. The evangelicals no longer have the narrative that they can manipulate in any way that they want to.
And even Christians, like the Nazis, had a very, very good view of optics. They know what a good story is, how to package something. And they know this. If you want to move some fucking units, like if you want to be able to sell how many millions of copies of the Girl Who Said Yes story sold.
Right.
And I'm not blaming the Bernal family because they lost their daughter.
They lost their daughter, yeah. And they are looking for any way to give this some meaning. They're just coping. That's right, all right, they're doing. Right. They're just trying to cope with it. And then no blame whatsoever should be placed on the Bernals.
No.
And I think another thing that should be important to note is that you say Christian. I think it's also important to note that at this time, and we need to say evangelical, because the other Christian churches in the other, like, Protestant and the Catholic churches in town were all saying, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, the evangelicals are completely to blame for this whole thing.
Yeah, the other Christians were like, stop. One of them actually said, he said, I felt like I was being bashed over the head with Jesus. Because they wouldn't stop talking about it. They weren't listening to people. They weren't trying to comfort people. All they were trying to do was further their agenda. And evangelicals are some of the most harmful fucking people in this country and on earth.
No one should use Jesus as a bat. That's number one, because that's very rude. To your point, Christians, another C-word, capitalists. There was the boy who died for 2 weeks, and then he's like, whatever, two hours, and he went to heaven, and he spent some time. That was just a bestseller.
Colin Burpo.
Burpo, yeah, Burpo the boy. Burpo the boy. Total myth. And to your point about evangelicals, here in the States, we don't really get to see the full effect of evangelical policies, but you do in the third world, in poor developing countries like Africa, and where gays are getting tired, and which means they throw a tire at
necklaced.
A person. Necklacing, and they're really getting their actual point of view and their philosophies passed in legislation, and it's leading to just mass murder.
Yes.
So evangelicals, I must agree, as growing up as one, and my parents are still evangelical, but they are some of the worst human beings that walk the earth.
Yeah.
But they got some high-powered people to pump this book, because it's like when Cassie's mother wrote the book about the girl's life, the public relations team behind it were the people that handled Monica Lewinsky's book. She was on 2020. She was on Today Show for 2 months. And they pumped it, and she got picked up by William Morris to shop the film rights. She sold the film rights. The movie was never made because Reese Witherspoon was just too fat.
Oh, leave Reese alone.
But she, you know, the movie wasn't made, but they made their money too, which is sad, because then it comes down to, it's like, how much money is worth your daughter's life? Is it really replaced what happened to her? And the answer is no, of course.
I just can't believe they got to sign with William Morris.
Yeah, I know, right? You just signed with a very small, commercial company, and you've been a comedian for fucking 25 years.
Yeah, I'm 55 years old, and I'll finally get my chance to play Bigfoot.
Well, even though Val, she told her story, the girl actually did say yes, she told her story immediately after being rescued. She never wavered in any way her testimony, but she would be shunned by the evangelical community. She would be called a copycat. People would say, are you sure that's the way that happened?
Right.
You know, they talk behind her back. And she said that she had a harder time forgiving the evangelicals and the people who called her a liar than she did Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold.
It's unbelievable.
That is how
Eric and Dylan can no longer profit off of her story.
Yeah.
And somebody else is desperately trying to.
Yeah, absolutely. And so finally, let's get to what is possibly the most fucked up part of the story, and the absolute the most tragic part of the story is the cover-up, all of this could have been prevented.
Because I also forgot about this thing, too, was that the facts that Eric Harris sent to one of his teachers about what he called the Walsh butt rape incident, which was when he was raped by Detective Walsh from him and Dylan.
He allegedly.
No, when he was.
Allegedly.
Crossing the streams, man.
He drew this little diagram of how he was raped. And I got to say, it is, it's graphic. But I think it's a part of his psychopathy. He was just trying to shift the blame, as always. You know, that's what he's trying to do. But, you know.
So
was he raped by the fat cats? I don't know. Maybe. Yes. Yes.
Knows?
No. Maybe. Yes. What? Fat cats? JonBenet Ramsey, also victim of the fat cats. Maybe. Yes. Mark Taylor, victim of the fat cats because he was trying to out the police involved in Columbine. No. There are many connections, many different things. There's different things, different information out there, and you gotta look at all the evidence.
Yeah, a lot of different things out there. So Kate Batten, or Batten, as is actually pronounced, she was the lead investigator, and she already knew by 1:30 p.m. who her killers were. When she searched the system, she found that they were already there. They had been, of course, we talked about, they had arrested for breaking into a van the year before. But
breaking into the van and then dressed in lingerie, and they took pictures of them, and then they force-fed them anally Luvox. And all of it, again, stem for where the cover-up goes. Who benefits? Follow the money.
Qui bono. Yes, yes. But more importantly, the mother of their former friend, Brooks Brown, had reported Eric Harris to the police department more than a year before the killings because Eric Harris had threatened Brooks's life on his website. There were 10 printed pages in Eric's files detailing these threats one by one.
And that came from the fact that Brooks had thrown a rock at Eric's truck and it created a chink in his windshield, and then Brooks wouldn't give him the money to help fix it.
White people problems.
Eric Harris had gone in, like, he had screamed at, like, he had actually shown his true face to Brooks Brown's mother. And that's another thing about a psychopath and psychopathic personality, is if the psychopath believes that you are of no use to them, then they will show their true face to you.
They will
do whatever their true desires. They will open that up and they will just fucking switch off that loving, caring personality, and they will fucking freak out on you, which is why Brooks Brown's mother reported Eric Harris to the police. And the police actually had a search warrant for Eric Harris's house. There was an actual search warrant because somebody had found pipe bomb materials around Eric Harris's house, and those pipe bombs, that evidence that pointed directly towards Eric Harris, along with the threats made to Brooks Brown, both verbally and in writing, were put together in a search warrant that would have discovered the pipe bombs and all the things that Eric Harris was planning months before, and it would have prevented the entire Columbine massacre. But that search warrant sat on the desk of the district attorney and was never signed, was never filed, and was never followed up on.
Because they just believed kids were being kids. Harris himself said in the basement tapes, "I could convince them that I'm going to climb Mount Everest, or I have a twin brother growing out of my back. I can make you believe anything," which is what he said. All right. And so his father also found a pipe bomb inside of his own house and didn't do anything about it. This is the thing, because it's the truth, right? The police looked at this scenario. It's a bunch of kids all just kind of fucking around. It's a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. So what they did was they knew that Eric Harris's father was handling it, because Eric's father was sort of a hard ass and he was already in a sort of recovery program. Like, he was supposed to be dealing with a therapist and all this stuff, and he was passing with flying colors as a part of this like halfway house thing. So they think, well, he's doing good. It's doing great. But Eric Harris the whole time is getting off on the fact that he's lying to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Which is what we talk about a lot of times with politicians. And this tends to be in politicians who go to the extreme right. Your Larry Craigs of the world. Dennis Hastert, who just got arrested for having sex with a 15-year-old boy. They run on platforms that make them seem squeaky clean. And they make themselves seem holier than thou. And in reality, they do these disgusting dungeon things, which is what we also see in the UK sex things. UK, pedophile sex rings.
Seeing standard conspiracy thought again. The reason why they're covering it up is because they fucked up. Like, they just fucked up.
Yeah.
So that's where this deep fucking crazy conspiracy is happening right now. And it was very a simple little thing.
And even go, let's see, even Bill Cosby as an example. He loved being America's grandfather. And the whole time he knew he was a serial rapist.
Well, these people, like, they actually knew. But I disagree. I don't think the police department, I don't think they were saying boys will be boys. I think they had ample evidence to actually follow up on this. Because Judy Brown, she, Brooks Brown's his mother, she had contacted the office 15 times about violent threats. Very violent, very real threats. With evidence to back up him be actually being a dangerous individual. They just didn't follow through with it. It was just sheer police ineptitude. And so as soon as they, and that's the thing, is that this search warrant that just sat on the desk, this affidavit, Judy Brown was able to immediately use that to search Eric Harris's house. But
afterwards,
after the shooting, after a lot of kids were coming out and saying like, yeah, it was Eric Harris. I fucking know that dude. It was definitely Eric Harris.
This is just history repeating. How many times have we heard this narrative? Every single serial killer we talk about, every single terrible event. I'm with you. I think it's ineptitude. 9/11, government ineptitude. They're not smart enough to cause anything.
Well, they're not smart enough. They're not smart enough to cause anything, and they're also too fucking lazy. They didn't follow up on the search warrant because they were too lazy.
They don't realize that the piece of paper on their desk actually ties to a human being. There was just that boy who was stuck at Rikers for 3 years. All it took was someone to sign the paper and put him in front of a judge, and they just don't do these things.
They just didn't do it.
They just don't do
it. And then what you're looking at here is now the cover-up begins, right? So they basically, all this shit comes out. They have to go on Today's Show. He denied the Browns had ever met with an investigator.
Yeah, the sheriff went on the Today Show.
Mm.
Yeah, so the sheriff went on Today's Show. Said no, that didn't happen. They had a secret meeting. All of the Jeffco groups got together because they realized like all this shit. We got this paper trail, and then they had a fucking like Watergate style meeting where they were like, this is the party line. This is what we're going to say. We did not see these papers. These papers are gone. And so that Batan was saying about this, how the Fusilier brought that up too, about how it's like that stack of affidavits was on a desk one day, and then it was fucking gone. And then it was like a couple of years later, it just showed back up.
Right.
And they're like, what the fuck? Where the hell has this been all this time? Because then now they're piecing the story back together. Like after David Cullen has been researching this for 10 fucking years, he sees now it's like this huge gap in time. It's like, well, where the fuck was it from like 1999 to 2005?
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why you always have to have a magician in the force. So when they look at the stack of paper and you say, what do you see there? Oh, I see a stack. It's a pizza. And you
it's
take
a presto. It's a rabbit.
Oh, my God.
Never again. Oh, just, don't worry. Absolutely. And I also hid the second gun in the grassy knoll. Look at him. The first you see him, there he is. Oh, is he from Cuba? I don't know. Is he? Oh, he's brown of skin. I put him in the box. And a runner, two, a three. Now he's gone. What is it? Why they're putting a black bag over my head? No.
We have no use. No more use for the magician.
Well, the open spaces meeting and all the cover-up, this was all Jefferson County's Sheriff's Department. The FBI didn't know about this. The other, the local law enforcement didn't know about any of this stuff. This was all just one elected official, one inept elected official that covered all this stuff up. Well, not one, actually a big group of them. In November of 2000, Jeffco released 11,000 pages of police reports, but they left out more than half. And this is how shitty they were at cover-ups. They numbered the pages before they released them to the public.
And they redacted all the words in highlighter. Yeah. You got to use a permanent black marker on that.
Also, because I feel like there's also a lot of conspiracy thought as into why Fusilier was a part of this. Yes, he was connected to Waco. Yes, he did a lot of what we now know is a bunch of shady, weird shit, like in terms of like our American involvement and like what happened at Waco, what happened with the ATF. But the thing is that he was kind of a periphery investigator. He was there just to sort of put together the minds of the killers.
Yeah.
So yes, it is very strange that his kids were also involved, but I feel like he had very little to do with the investigation as a whole. Like, he was just setting all this up. He didn't come out with his report till later, and then nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it'd be different if it became the party line. But the thing is that, again, where's the conspiracy if he didn't win? Like, he didn't do the thing. Everybody believed in the other story. They believed it was nerds killing jocks. Not he. Fuselier came out and said it was like they were psychopaths. They were terrorists. Right. Yeah. We have to work on this problem.
You know, I'm just thinking about this now. That whole anti-bullying movement. This is also, it stems from this. And what all that does is get more kids in trouble and creates a chilling effect. And a lot of these, you know, it's really subjective on who's being bullied and who's doing what to who.
Well, yeah, and it also is zero tolerance rules come in right. because of this as well. And zero tolerance rules meaning that kids aren't allowed to fight back anymore.
Right.
If someone punches you in the face, if you fight back, then you're also going to get just as much punishment as the other kid does.
Just like you do in jail.
Yeah. And it also, what that prepares kids for is for being submissive.
Right.
And for just taking it.
Well, I really miss the days when I could punch a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I really miss those days. And now, because it's like, you know, I used to do it 2-3 times a day.
Yeah.
Just to put them down. Just to be like, fight me. I hope you beat me. You know what I mean? Like a trainer. Like I say, like, yeah, I hit you first, but I hope you then beat me because then you're strong now.
Yeah, it's a toddler, Henry. It's just a little baby toddler.
Make them strong. Ain't no reason for nobody being weak.
Well, the original search warrant, and this is the further cover-up, for Eric Ayers' house was destroyed both electronically and physically. And we know this, but because all of the evidence is circumstantial and nobody will rat on anybody else, not a single person has been held accountable. Like, there was one woman that worked for the sheriff that actually said, like, yeah, he asked me exactly where this file was. I found the file, and then he had me shred a bunch of documents, which I thought were just duplicate documents. So there's no actual, like, she's just pleading ignorance. Like, yes, I did the right act, but I don't know what it was that I shredded. So
in
that's,
no other way can you get away with that. In any other crime in society can you get away with that. Be like, yeah. He just told me to go sell this white powder on the street, and I just did it. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But it's like using you as a boy to burn your grandfather's documents.
I actually found out what those were, by the way.
What were they?
It's not Das Nazi related.
Oh.
But it is financial.
They were fraud related. It was a crime.
It when my family has passed.
So there were, in my opinion, I think there were three people responsible for Columbine. Everyone's looking, for years have been looking, who's responsible for it? Who are the people that should be blamed? Three people: Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, and the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. That's who, that right there, that is who is responsible for this attack. And this is very interesting. In a national poll taken after the attack, people were asked, okay, who's to blame for this? The leading culprits were violent movies, video games, goths, music, bullies, Satan. But the parents topped the list. Over 85% of the public held the parents responsible. And I'm going to go ahead and say right now, the families, the probation officer, even Eric's psychiatrist were all completely fooled. They all believed them. They all did exactly what they were supposed to do when it came to kids like this. And most of us were kids like this. We talked about it in the last episode. Most of us were kids. Most of the people listening right now and on the Facebook group, so many people came out and said, like, yes, that was me. I was this kid. I was did this at this time. You know, I had fantasies about school shootings. A lot of kids do. We just didn't do it.
Write a screenplay about it.
Yes.
Then you actually get to orchestrate it, and it's very, very fun.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. You know, it's true. The government totally won.
Yeah.
Good work, guys. They totally fooled us. But it's like they fooled the whole country. They were obsessed with this thing. The deeper conspiracy thought is another thing that they love. They also love the fact that people think that it's hiding some deep conspiracy about the pharmaceutical companies, stuff like that, because it's tied to them looking ludicrous so that the pharmaceutical companies, who are gigantic fucking scam artists,
they're drug dealers,
can get away with whatever they want. Because now you're looking at, like, every time you tie another ludicrous conspiracy to them, like, they just look more reasonable.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, we've talked about the pharmaceutical industry on Top Hat. There, in Indiana, for example, heroin is on the rise because the pharmaceutical companies had to deal with doctors to give them all these people OxyContin. Oxy got too expensive. They had to get kicked off the drug, and now heroin's there. The pharmaceutical company is really the reason for a lot of drug, most of the drug use in this country.
Yes.
And certainly for a lot of the side effects of these drugs are very, very negative.
Yeah.
Also, you can pass your little bubble test and then go to the university that you hate.
And a bit of an epilogue on this story. One of the weirdest things to come out of this tragedy was something I'm sure, you know, maybe not everybody remembers this, but I definitely do. The Sarah McLachlan video.
Yes.
You guys remember?
Man, we had some good montage videos in the late 90s,
though.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Man. The Sarah McLachlan. And I remember thinking for the longest time, I remember, like, how did that come out? Like, who did that? And finally, Dave Cullen's book finally explained it to me. It was the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department did it. Because they ordered a judge ordered a video that Jefferson County had took of the school and the immediate aftermath. They said that it was like a training video for firefighters, but Jefferson County took the video and they made copies and they sold. They put "I Will Remember You" by Sarah McLachlan over this footage of a bloody high school right after the shooting, and they sold it for $25 a pop.
Well, that's an interesting way to describe PTSD. I guess a lot of people will remember the war too.
The problem is, there's a bunch of dudes in trench coats just going like, "I fucking love this music video."
Man, this song, it's like totally my guilty pleasure, dude.
Oh,
but
my God.
But of course, McLachlan's record label threatened to sue because she was like, "I don't want any fucking part of this."
No.
So you know what Jefferson County did? They just removed the music and kept selling the video for $25 a pop.
Yeah, and they just had a police officer going to be like, "Yeah, ain't no beads." It's like, "Ah, yeah, I stepped in a puddle of blood over there. That was gross. I had to clean my shoes." Yeah, it's a library over here. And my old thing is in the library for fucking nerds. Anyways, and over here, ooh, French fries. Yeah, that was my favorite. I like to eat that in high school. You know, look at that little girl walking around. She's got a short skirt on. You know, it's a tragedy what happened.
Oh, it's so great. You know, when they're giving tickets and citations for seatbelts and whatnot, the commissioner's just like, "And upsell them on the CD." Yeah, you want to. And so after you give the ticket, upsell them, see if you can't
upsell
get an extra $25 for the city.
Give it to them. Yeah, sell it to them, all right?
So pathetic.
Unbelievable. So next week we're going to do something a lot more serious than this week. So I know that this has been a really lightheaded. This has really been a lighthearted couple of episodes.
Yeah,
so we're really
going
to get into something really heavy next week.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening to that. Like, I know this one was a much, you know, like this one was a little rougher for some people. I know one person on the Facebook page said that they actually they knew one of the victims and they lost one of their friends in this.
Awful.
And so, like, this is definitely a subject that is people take extremely seriously. And thank you guys for coming along with us on this journey. And go and rate and review us on iTunes.
I'm also going to put it this way: if anybody's more interested into some more of the conspiracy angles, just to make it a little bit more fun for you, look up Adam Lanza's connection to the movie Bullet Time, which is a Polish movie that is made from the perspective of two like Columbine-like shooters that apparently he used as a reference point. Look up the connection of the pharmaceutical companies to Mark Taylor. Also to, I can't find the other name. I believe his name is Dave Thomas, like the guy from Wendy's, who also was trying to adopt two little girls that were connected to the Fat Cat's sex ring, but he couldn't get them because the government wanted them just because they just loved how tight their bottoms were.
Right.
That's if you want to do some more hooky spooky stuff. We didn't really get to all of the research that I did because it's just so fucking, it's serious.
Right. And go to adamandeve.com and buy the Fat Cat sex ring. It's really great for all of your sex ring needs. There's no doubt about that. That's LP on the left on Twitter. That's Henry Loves You on Twitter at Marcus Parks. I'm at Ben Kissel. If you do think that you want to go shoot up your school, honestly, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not an irrational thought. Everybody thinks these things. Don't do it. Find some fun outlets for yourself, and you'll be very, very successful in life, because everyone who has ever succeeded in life is a sociopath.
Everybody.
To some degree.
We're all psychopaths. Yeah, that's how we got this far.
If those feelings start to you feel like they're starting to become uncontrollable, talk to somebody in your life. Talk to a real flesh and blood person. Don't go to the internet. Don't email us. We are not the people to talk to. If these things are starting to become uncontrollable, the people to talk to are in your actual life. And just remember, if you're scared about what's going to happen if you tell somebody, it's not going to be anywhere near as bad as what might happen if you can't control it anymore and you do something that you can never take back.
Yep. Also, it's a little bit of a personal plug after that. I'm going to be at San Diego Comic-Con with Bro Heroes, and Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell. So if you want to, if you're there, don't kill me there.
That's great. Yeah. No, please.
And the Cowman album is on sale, thecowman.bandcamp.com. We're going to play another song today at the end of this episode.
Awesome.
And thank you so much to everybody who's bought the album so far. It's doing really well. People are really digging it. We're getting a lot of really great responses from it.
And this Friday here at the Creek in the Cave, we have the Last Podcast on the Left live show. It's at 10 p.m. It's going to be extremely fun. I believe Mr. Zabrowski's sister will be sitting in for him, so mm-hmm. we'll get the pretty Zabrowski in there, which will be great. It's a super fun time. We drink and we get drunk. We have a real Irish time, and I click and I clack, and it's very, very fun.
And be sure and go and buy the new T-shirt. We're doing pre-orders right now. It's over at the go to capecomedyradio.com/lastpodcast on the left to buy the new T-shirt. We're probably going to be doing orders on here in the next couple days, so be sure to get your order in now.
All right, hail yourselves, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, and Hal Gein.
Hail Satan. Again, if you're looking for strength, look to Satan himself. He's really good at helping you, building you up and being strong, and he's all about community building as well.
He's a community organizer?
He's a community organizer.
I didn't know that about him. I'm learning something new each week from you, Henry. Thank you.
Me goes the later.
Back in 200 BC, when I was alive and free, I had a lady, you see. I loved her and she loved me. But then she decided to cheat with a griffin caught her lippin' at his beak. And I just broke down in defeat, forced to wander alone in the street.
Ghost that haunts you
every day. See her when I look up at the moon, and I see her in a cancer buzz too, and I see her in a Satan's old saloon. Yeah, see her in goddamn lots, I'm telling you.
Cause she's the ghost that haunts you. She's the ghost that
tortures for fun. It works without a whip or a gun. And pain, well, it weighs a ton. I'd rather have